I'd like to introduce Dr. Wendell Calder to share the word with us this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother. Good morning, everybody. Morning. That was pathetic. Let's try it again. Thank you, brother. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey, that's a lot better. Well, it's a joy to be here and share together with you. I'm not sure the copies, I think, maybe still left on the table back at the my right. A copy of a newsletter has some information on our family and our ministry. If not, I believe there's still some out at the Welcome Center. Pick one up. Inside is a card that has our schedule on the back of it, sort of a prayer reminder. If the Lord should lay us upon your heart, pray for us. Also, this church has been a faithful supporter of our ministry of local church evangelism for many years, and we are just starting to celebrate 45 years on the road, traveling in this ministry after 16 years in the pastorate, and so God has been good, and we've appreciated that. Also, back in 1983, we started a ministry called Project India as a result of our mission trip to India. We've brought several young people to the United States to be able to put them through Bible college and so on. Of course, one of them, well known to this church, Brother Chris Nanakin, his fiance at the time, Joy, also, now his wife and mother of their two daughters. And so we appreciate your faithful support of each and both of those. Got your Bible right there. Turn, if you would please, to the Gospel of John and chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading at verse 35. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt. They abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, "a stone." God always blesses his word. Let's pause in just a moment of prayer. Father, we're so thankful for every blessing we enjoy at thy good hand. We seek now thy blessing as we open the word of God. Lord, thy word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Help us today to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. In Christ's name, amen. Here in the scripture I read, John the Baptist standing, disciples with him. Another person passes on by, and John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Two of those disciples standing there with him started following Jesus. Jesus knew they were following him, so he turned and said, "What do you want?" He said, "Where do you live?" He said, "Come and see." So they followed him to the place of his abode, and they spent the day with him. One of these two's name was Andrew. And it says when he left the Lord Jesus, he first finds his own brother Simon, Simon Peter, and he said unto him, "We have found the Messiah." Now every Jewish lad, the burning desire of their heart was to know or find the Messiah. Of course, sad to say, many are still looking for him to come the first time. We're looking for him to come the second time, right? But he said unto them, okay, basically, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, "the Christ." And then it says, and he, referring to Andrew, brought him to Jesus. Title of my message this morning, Bringing Others to Jesus. Probably as good a title would also be Bringing Jesus to Others. Barna, B-A-R-N-A, is one of the most popular and well-known groups in religious Christian circles who do religious surveys, etc. And in one of Barna's surveys, and by the way, I want to preface this by saying I hope that this statistic is incorrect, but in one of their surveys, in surveying born-again believers, those who know Jesus Christ personally, they came to the conclusion that less than, okay, five, we'll put it this way, between 90 and 95% of those who know Jesus Christ personally have never personally in their lives introduced another person to Jesus Christ. I hope that statistic is absolutely wrong. But let me ask you a question. Don't answer it. Don't reply visibly at all. Just answer it in your own heart. How long have you known the Lord as your personal Savior? And then this question. Have you personally had the joy of introducing another person to Jesus Christ? See, the greatest joy that any Christian can have, apart from his or her own salvation, is the joy of introducing someone else to the Savior. Now, I realize God does the saving, but he uses people, okay? Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Well, he came, Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, and the birthday of the church, Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized the same day. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's fairly good church growth in one day, okay? So we do have the Holy Spirit living within. He resides in us permanently. So here's what he said. After that, the Holy Spirit, this is not just to the New Testament church, not just to the book of Acts, to every believer, okay? He said, when the Holy Spirit comes within, you shall be witnesses unto me. Then he sort of designated the areas. He said, first Jerusalem, that's home base, okay? Then he said, we'll move out into Judea and Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the earth. You shall be witnesses unto me. Now, it doesn't matter what terminology you use, soul winning, sharing the gospel, witnessing, personal evangelism, sharing your faith. Use the terminology you desire, but you and I have the privilege, but also along with it, the solemn responsibility of sharing Jesus Christ with others. Let me ask you a simple question. Have you as a believer, as a child of God, have you taken at some time or other serious quality time just to sit down and evaluate why you're here? I don't mean why you're in this service. I mean why you're on planet Earth. How come the moment you get saved, God didn't just zap you home to glory? Solved a lot of problems, wouldn't he? But what did he do? He left us here. So why are we here? Well, 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, now then we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And even though, as the verse says, the preaching of the gospel is to them that perish foolishness, unto us who are saved, it's what? It's the power, the dynamite of God unto salvation. So why did God leave me here? I'm his ambassador. I'm his representative. I'm to represent Jesus Christ on planet Earth. So the title of my message, Bringing Others to Jesus. A good title, as I said, would be also Bringing Jesus to Others. Let's take a look at the text from John chapter 1. First, the soul winner's task. That's T-A-S-K. The soul, in case you can't understand my lingo, the soul winner's job, the soul winner's responsibility, the soul winner's privilege, okay? I want you to notice what it says here. It says he first, okay? So if you happen to be jotting down notes, number one, put down the word first. Put right behind it this word, priority. Priority. Once they had spent a day in the presence of the Lord Jesus, once they had spent time in the presence of the Son of God, His number one priority was what? He wanted to see his brother come to know Jesus. Now, I'm a firm believer that when a person is genuinely saved, I believe at the moment of salvation, I believe at the moment of the new birth, 2 Peter 1:4 says, at the moment I'm made a partaker of the divine nature, I believe also at the same time, there is inherently inborn and inbred within me a desire to see others come to know Christ also. I believe that's automatic. I believe that's just part of God's redemptive plan. I want to see others come to know him personally. So evangelism, soul winning, needs to be prioritized. Matter of fact, if that statistic is even anywhere near close, and I trust, as I said, that it is not, but even if it is, we certainly have not prioritized evangelism. We certainly have not prioritized soul winning. We certainly have not prioritized one-on-one sharing our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, back in the 1930s, the 1940s, and some of you, that's ancient history, and even over into the 1950s, okay, it was very common for churches of this nature, evangelistic, evangelical, fundamental, Bible-preaching churches, it was very common to have annually, at least, some even twice a year, what they called either revival meetings, evangelistic meetings, special emphasis on seeing people come to know the Lord. I personally came to know Christ in an evangelistic series of meetings in the 1940s, would you believe? And so I realized, I know you didn't think I was that old, but I realized that many, as a matter of fact, I know for sure, there are folks sitting in this auditorium right now, and you actually came to Christ in that type of a meeting. That type of a event. Matter of fact, the evangelists were staying in my folks' home. And so it was an evangelistic series of meetings. Then we get into the 50s, 60s, 70s. And like, for example, Dr. James Kennedy introduced his great program, Evangelism Explosion. And during that time, average fundamental gospel preaching churches really got fired up about evangelism, even had one night of the week that probably would call it a soul-winning night, etc. And I probably would be absolutely correct in saying there's also people sitting in this auditorium right now who actually came to Christ because one day somebody came and knocked on your door, somebody came and rang your doorbell, either invited you to church or shared Jesus Christ with you, and that was the initial touch, the initial contact in leading you toward the Savior. On the screen this morning was Paula Dunn. Well, Paula Dunn, as you older folks know, they're in this church, and maybe the younger ones do also. This was her home church, and Paula Dunn basically came to know Christ and the whole story because somebody knocked on a door, somebody rang a doorbell, somebody paid a visit. I've worked with Paula in meetings and shared, etc., and heard her give her testimony of it, etc., because somebody cared enough to go and talk to them about their need of a Savior. So first, priority. Is it priority in your life? Is it priority in my life? Sad to say, many times, it's not even priority in our churches. Look at the next word. He first findeth. Word number one was first, priority. Number two, findeth, persistence. Now, I don't know how long Andrew had to look to find Peter. Knowing what little bit I do about Simon Peter, he probably might have had to look a while. He'd be the type of guy, might be a little hard to find. But Andrew was so persistent, he wasn't going to quit. He wasn't going to give up until he had the privilege of introducing his brother to Jesus Christ. Maybe there's somebody you've been sharing with, somebody you have witnessed to, somebody you've shared the gospel with, maybe even a family member, and they've gotten to a point where they might have said something like this to you: don't talk to me anymore about it. You know, family members feel more free to tell us that. Well, I've got exciting news for you this morning. When they tell you you no longer can talk to them about him, they can't stop you from talking to him about them. Now, in case you didn't get that, I'll run it by one more time. Okay? They may stop you from talking to them about him. they can't stop you from talking to him about them. And the effectual fervent prayer, James 5, of a righteous person availeth much. God answers prayer. There may be that person that you've been sharing with, and you're saying, I don't think they're ever going to get saved. You know what? Sometimes when they seem the most resistant on the outside, we really don't know what's happening on the inside. Matter of fact, there might be somebody like that sitting in this auditorium right now. You've heard the message, you've heard the gospel, but you never have personally placed your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ as the only Savior, and you're maybe even just that close to coming to know Him. Today would be the day of all days to settle it, bringing others to Jesus. Thirdly, I want you to notice it says, He first findeth His own brother, first findeth family. First priority, findeth persistence, family, passion. The Bible says when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He had a heart of concern. He was burdened because the Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. Aren't you thankful that one day somebody came and shared Jesus with you? Good, I heard one amen. Okay, if we could get two, that would be a real victory. Let me try that again. Aren't you glad that one day someone came and shared Jesus with you? Hey, we're getting better, we're coming. Okay, now, as I said, family is the most difficult, without a doubt, to witness to share with. I think they feel more free to turn us off and refuse us of others. But maybe, without a doubt, many of us, maybe all of us here, have loved ones, family members dear to us. Maybe you got a work associate, a good friend, a neighbor who needs the Savior, who needs the Savior. Is evangelism, is soul winning? Is that seeing that person come to Christ? Is that priority? Does that hold top spot on the agenda for you in your life? So there's the soul winner's task. Secondly, I want us to take a look at the soul winner's testimony. You know why? There are many people who are afraid to witness because they're afraid that, number one, they don't know enough. They don't know enough scripture. They don't know enough about the Bible. They're also afraid that the other person will ask them a question they're not going to be able to answer. They're also afraid they may not get a positive response from the other person. The Bible says the fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Okay? And so there are a lot of reasons we may use as to why. But I want you to notice something about Andrew's testimony that I believe ought to be an encouragement. I think it ought to be an encouragement to each and every one of us, okay? First thing I want you to notice about his testimony was this. It was a spoken testimony. In other words, he verbalized it. There was a period of time in our nation when there was a very, very popular program plan, and it was called lifestyle evangelism. Now, what lifestyle evangelism really was and is that your life ought to back up your profession. In other words, you're going to talk the talk, you ought to walk the walk. Don't just say it, show it, right? Don't just lip it, live it. So it was called lifestyle evangelism. And it was wonderful, but here's what happened. Over a period of time, as happens in a lot of things, the whole policy purpose originally began to change. And lifestyle evangelism developed into this. Well, you know, I really don't need to share my faith. I really don't need to talk to people. What I really need to just do is live the Christian life. Let them see the difference in my life. Well, that's wonderful. I'm in full agreement with it. But let me ask you this. If people watch you for even several years and they see something different about you and you don't tell them who it is that made the difference, how are they possibly going to come to know your Jesus? And then I've also found that we can talk about anything and everything. How come we can't talk about Jesus? For example, I'm a Boston Red Sox fan up until this year. I changed. I'm now a Washington National fan. I love to go with winners. No. I'm a Boston Red Sox fan. Well, as if you're a Red Sox fan or a baseball fan, you know we had nearly a 100-year dearth. Okay? Well, years ago, I was preaching in a church right across from New York City in New Jersey, and it had three morning services like we do here. And in the first service, I made the mistake of saying I was a Boston Red Sox fan. I don't know what I was talking about. But anyway, a man came out. We had about 700 in each service for three services. And a man came out. He had his hands behind him like this. And when he came out, he never said anything, never shook hands or whatever. He just brought a piece of paper out from behind his back, and it said 1918 on it. And then he just kept going right out through the door. Well, that was the last year the Red Sox won the World Series. Well, as you know, they won it back 2004, was it? And you know what? I would meet Red Sox fans, avid Red Sox fans. You couldn't get them to shut up. I mean, all they want to talk about was the Red Sox winning the World Series. How come we can't get that excited about gossiping the gospel? How come we can't get that excited about talking about Jesus? The old spiritual says, let's have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our troubles. He'll hear our faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. Let's just have a little talk with Jesus. There's a world that desperately needs him. It was spoken, okay? Number two, not only was it spoken, I want you to notice the second thing, it was a simple testimony. How simple was it? Listen, we have found the Messiah. Wow, that's complex. That's difficult. By the way, please don't try to complicate what God made simple. Let me tell you what. You don't need to know much to get saved. If you did, most of us would never have made it. All you need to know in order to get saved is that you're a sinner. The wages of sin is death. Your sin is separated between you and your God. Somebody had to pay sin's penalty, which is death. The only one who could do it is Jesus. He's the God-man. So as the one mediator between God and man, on the old rugged cross, Jesus, the Son of God, who did no sin, knew no sin, was without sin, and there was no sin in him, he took your sin and mine, 1 Peter 2:24. He bore it in his own body on the tree. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ hath once suffered for sin, and the only one who can take the hand of a holy God, the hand of a helpless sinner, and reconcile God and the sinner is Jesus Christ, and he did it at the cross 2,000 years ago. So go ahead, give the Lord a hand. Don't try to complicate it, okay? The gospel is simple. If you know how you get saved, you know enough to tell somebody else how to get saved. As somebody said, all witnessing, soul winning really is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Dawson Trotman, founder of the Navigators, great man of God. Here's his definition of a soul winner. A soul winner is not a soul winner because of what he knows or how much he knows, but because of who he knows, how well he knows him, and how much he longs and desires for others to know him. That's what it's all about. It's just because I love Jesus. Because I love Jesus, I want to share him with everybody because he's the one they need. He's the only Savior. There is no other. The gospel is simple. Thirdly, not only was it a spoken testimony, not only is it a simple testimony, it was a sure testimony. He didn't say, you know, I think, I hope. No, no, no. He said, we have found him. Okay? I've been to Calvary. I've seen the Lord. Remember in John chapter 9, the man who was born blind. I mean, you might not have been there that day, but you remember reading it? You remember Jesus gave him his sight, right? And the people said, don't give him credit. He's a sinner. And here's what the blind man said. I'm paraphrasing, okay? He said, listen, I really don't know a lot about theology, but I want to tell you one thing I do know. A little while ago, I was blind, now I can see. You try to argue that. See, you can argue doctrine. You can argue biblical truth. I'll tell you one thing you can't argue. The evidence of a life transformed by the grace of God. And that's what happened when Andrew, and here's how Andrew was known. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. How would you like to be known like that? Do you know John? Yeah, that's Philip's cousin. I mean, the whole world knew Peter, but the Andrew was what? Simon Peter's brother. We never read that Andrew ever preached a sermon, spoke publicly, whatever. But don't forget who introduced Peter to the Savior. And his message and testimony was that we know, we've seen him. We have met him. We know him. This is the Christ, the Son of the living God. One other thing about that testimony. Not only was it spoken, not only was it simple, not only was it sure, that testimony was sanctified. Here's what I mean by that. God's touch was on it. You see, when you and I go to share Jesus with someone else, don't ever go in your own strength. God hasn't promised to bless your ideas, theories, thoughts, and philosophies, nor mine. But he has promised to bless his word. And he said, my word that goes forth out of my mouth is not going to return void, empty, meaningless. It will accomplish the purpose whereto I've sent it. And I want to tell you what, I've seen the word of God break down some hardened hearts. I've seen the word of God change some lives and transform them by the grace of God. This testimony had God's power, had God's unction. Just like he touched that lunch of a little lad and fed thousands, he can take you and me, put heaven's touch. I call it unction to function. Okay? He's able to take heaven's touch, put it upon our lives, and use us to introduce someone else to the Savior, bringing others to Jesus, bringing Jesus to others. We've seen the soul winner's task. We've seen the soul winner's testimony. Finally, let's look at the Savior's triumph. That's T-R-I-U-M-P-H. Okay, the Savior's triumph. And it's the Savior's triumph through the soul winner. And here's what it says. He said to Peter, Peter, we found the Messiah. We found the Christ. And then we read this. And he, Andrew, brought him, Peter, to Jesus. I love it. That didn't get you excited. You got a problem. He brought him to Jesus. So what happened that day? A sinner got saved. But you know what else? A soul winner got saved. You remember in Matthew 16, 13 to 18, Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He said, who do people around here say I am anyway? They said, well, some think you're John the Baptist, some think you're Elijah, some think you're Jeremiah, some think you're one of the prophets. And then he said, but who do you think I am? Well, Peter answered, what do you say? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I think Andrew was standing in the back of the crowd and he nudged his buddy and said, that's my brother. I introduced him to Jesus. Then on the day of Pentecost, Peter stands and preaches. 3,000 come to Christ. Andrew hits his friend and said, that's my brother. I introduced him to Jesus. You know what? God wants to use you to introduce somebody to Jesus. God wants to use me to introduce somebody to Jesus. Not only did a sinner get saved and a soul winner was saved, the Savior was satisfied. You want to bring joy to the heart of Almighty God? Bring people to the Savior. Why? God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever puts their trust in him would not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So you say, well, how can this all happen? Okay, it's 5 minutes past 12 o'clock. I'll keep you updated every half hour. I'll have you out of here in 5 minutes. How's that? Okay. How can this all happen? How can this all occur? We need a vision. I like to call it a fourfold vision. Number one, I need to get a vision of the heart of my Savior. One word, agony. He agonizes over the souls of men. He agonizes over a lost world. Jesus saw the multitudes moved with compassion. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you and you would not? His heart is the heartbeat of evangelism. His heart is the heartbeat of the gospel. His heart is the heartbeat of a soul winner. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. His name, Jesus, means Savior. Secondly, once you get a view of his heart, then you need a vision of your own heart. And if the word agony describes his heart, you know what the word is that describes my heart? Apathy. Apathy, complacency, indifferent. Friends, let's not just see people as bodies walking around. Let's see them as precious souls for whom Christ died. Don't become indifferent, apathetic. But then thirdly, we need to get a vision of heaven. One word, awesome. I guarantee you, 1 minute in the presence of God in heaven, we'll have no desire to come back here. Absolutely no desire. But then also, fourthly, we not only need to see his heart agony, my heart apathy, heaven, it's awesome. We need to get a view of hell. The word is awful. And I know we don't hear much about it today, but I want to tell you there's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. And I want to remind all of us this morning, every person is one heartbeat from eternity. And once life leaves the body, there's no preacher living in all the world will ever get you into God's heaven. What you do with Jesus Christ here and now determines the eternal destiny of your soul. Bringing others to Jesus. Have you had the joy? Have you had the thrill of introducing someone else to the Savior? If so, do it again. If you haven't, let's start. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you it's powerful. We thank you it's sharper than a two-edged sword. We thank you that it pierces even the dividing asunder, the soul, the spirit, the joints, the marrow. We thank you, Lord, it's a discerner of the very thoughts and the intents of our hearts. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. With every head bowed before the Lord, here's what I'd like you to do. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, absolutely sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. I'd like you to talk to the Lord right there in the quietness of your heart. And here's what I'd like you to tell the Lord. I'd like you to tell him that with his help, by his grace, you will talk to at least one person, one-on-one, before the end of 2019 about his or her need of Jesus Christ. You can't start with two till you get one. I'm just saying, Lord, with your help, some of you are going to do it in fear and trembling. God will give you the strength. He'll go before you and even prepare. When Philip went to the Ethiopian eunuch, he was already reading the word of God. So would you now right there take a moment, the quietness of your heart. You love the Lord? Say, dear Lord Jesus, I'm sharing with you now. Before this year ends, 2019, I'm going to share you one-on-one with at least one person who needs you. Maybe you already know who it is. You pray about it. You ask God to prepare their heart, prepare your heart. Now, if you've done that, here's what I want you to do as our heads are bowed. I want you to just stand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I just want you to stand. I'll tell you why. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask God to send you to the right person. I'm going to ask him to give you the strength, to give you the words to say. So right now, if you've already shared that with the Lord, and that's what you do, would you stand where you are? And then I'm going to pray for you, and then our service will be closed. I'll wait just a moment and give you the hour. It's between you and the Lord. How much does my faith really mean? How much does my own salvation really mean? What burden do I really have for sinners? People are dying, going to hell, folks. We have the answer. God bless you. Let me pray. Loving Father, I want to thank you for each one who's standing, each one who simply said in their heart, Lord, with your help, by your grace, with your strength, I will, before the end of 2019, I will share you with at least one person. Lord, a lot of people are going to hear about Jesus. And I'm praying right now you'd give each one the strength, take away fear. I pray that you'd defeat the enemy. You'd prepare the person to whom they're going. Give them the words to say as they go. And Lord, may we have the joy of hearing of precious souls coming to know you personally. God bless you. You may be seated. Just before I close in prayer, if you're here today and you do not know the Savior, you're not sure, if you died today, heaven will be your home. Please, don't walk out of here till you settle the destiny of your soul. Any one of us be so happy. Take the time, share with you from God's Word. Loving Father, thank you for each one. Lord, give us the opportunity to share you. May we have the joy of hearing people coming to know the Savior. We love you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,